Congregation, let us now open the holy infallible word of the Lord for the scripture reading for the sermon in the book of Psalms. And we read Psalm 69, verses 1 through 18. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 18. There we read as follows, Psalm 69, verse 1. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let a deep swallow me up, and let not a pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. So far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Psalm 69. I read verses 1 and 2 as text verses for the sermon. There we read as follows. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. The title of the sermon is The Sinking of the Soul. Three points of attention. The first point, what this sinking means for yourself. Second point, what this sinking means for others. And the third point, how to get out of this sinking. So the title is The Sinking of the Soul, 3 points. what this sinking means for yourself, what this sinking means for others, and how to get out of this sinking. Congregation, it was April 14, 1912, that a Titanic hit an iceberg, and that was tearing open 5 watertight departments, and it could only take 4. So the water came in, and this great passenger ship started to sink. Took a few hours. And you think about the people there, seeing the water coming into the ship, experiencing how this ship that was thought that it couldn't sink, in foolish pride, that it started to sink. And so, in the early hours of the next day, it sank and 1,500 people died. Oh, the despair of those seeing the water coming in onto ship. The despair of experiencing that you have to drown, that you will drown. You cannot help yourself. You cannot get out. There's no help. There's no way. Your strength is fainting and you're freezing and you die. David is writing this psalm in such an experience. The experience of a drowning man, you could say. A man who experiences that the water is coming in unto his soul. So the soul, you could say, is the most deep inward life existence of man. And all the emotions involved. And the water coming in unto his soul. The water, you could say, is all the circumstances he is experiencing, affliction, trial, it's too much, it's overwhelming. He has no strength to resist. He is in despair. There's no way out. He cannot help himself. This is going to be the end of his life if there will not be a savior for him. The water is coming in unto my soul. Sometimes in the Netherlands, maybe also here, we would say, the water will come to your mouth, to your lips. God will take care, it will not overflow. But here, and we do understand what we mean when we say that there's help in the Lord, but the experience is sometimes that it does overflow. Like David is describing here in this psalm. I sink in deep mire. There's no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm drowning. This is the end. There's no way out. Sinking in deep mud. When I was a kid on the farm of my father, my brother and I would go with my father, and there was a pond. While he was milking the cows, he would play, and there was mud at the side. You would try to go as far as you could, but sometimes you would sink, and you'd cry, help me. And it was dangerous. You got scared. How deep will I sink? I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. This is a psalm of David. It's also a messianic psalm, which means it is prophesying about the Messiah, about Christ. Certain aspects, certain parts of this psalm make clear the circumstances of Christ, in which Christ has been while he was on earth. And this is a prophecy long before he came, was born in this world and suffered and died upon the cross. The Holy Spirit gave David to write those words for instruction for the church, for us today, this morning. It's a psalm that is quoted many times in the New Testament. After Psalm 22 and Psalm 110, it's the psalm that is most quoted in the New Testament. And we wonder what a situation was that David was writing this psalm, Psalm 69. It isn't described clearly, but if you study this psalm, it makes you think about a situation that David was persecuted by Saul. Because this situation, you could say, it was a situation that he was persecuted without a reason. What did he do wrong? Why were his enemies against him? Why did Saul want to kill him? Can you imagine the situation David was in? He was just a boy taking care of the sheep of his father, a shepherd. But God called him, anointed him to be king of Israel. It was not his plan. It was the plan of God. It was the calling of the Lord, a task God gave to him. And yeah, God was going to take it away from Saul. But Saul was to be blamed for that. He was disobedient. He didn't trust the Lord. He became proud. And at some point, he was using the office for himself and not for the Lord. And God was going to punish him, taking it away, give it to his neighbor, to David. And he knew. And it became clear that David was much better than he was. And he started to hate David. Especially when he saw the help of the Lord in the life of David. And you remember the women singing that Saul has conquered his thousands, David his 10,000s from that day. He was against David. He had no grace in his heart to take this. And he wanted to kill him. Oh, what a difference with his son Jonathan. He said, I know you will be king, David. And he could submit to the Lord. That's grace. Well, so David is in this situation that he didn't plan by himself. And Saul was against him. The king was against him with all his power, with the whole army. And how would people think about him? Oh, that's a servant who is in rebellion against the king. That's why the king is persecuting him. There must be a reason. So he's mocked. He's despised. He's in danger. And he experiences his enemies are trying to kill him. Oh, the water is coming into my soul. You recognize such a situation in your life? Can be in many different ways that there are circumstances in your life that you feel they are too big for you. You don't know how to deal with it. It's too much. You have a lack of wisdom as parents, or as a young person, so hard to deal with those circumstances. Do you know this experience in a spiritual way? That the Lord opened your eyes and that He showed you who you are before God. What you have done against your Creator, against a holy and righteous God, in your foolishness, in your sin, in your pride. You have disobeyed His law, that you have hurt His glory, your neighbor, in so many ways, in your words, in your behavior, in your thoughts. that you became before God what you are, something that needs to happen. That we become before God what we are, a sinner who deserves His wrath, His condemnation. And that you experience not only what you have done, but that you experience that it is your nature and that you are not able to change it like it should be. That sin is too strong for you. How many times did you decide, and now I'm going to do it different. I'm not going to do it this again. I know it's against the will of God. And you couldn't. And so it's not only what you do, but you do it because it's how you are. You don't know how to change that, and you become aware you cannot. So you have to perish. Because God is holy and just, O God. Save me, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. We probably all have experienced this in circumstances of this life. It's so difficult. It's so deep. It hurts so much. It's so impossible. How can I deal with this? We might complain about it. But, oh, let us bring it in prayer to the Lord. But do we see the root of all this suffering and all this trouble? Does the word of God not say, what does man complain? That a man would complain about his sin. That's the root of all the suffering, trials, and trouble in this life. So that it would open our eyes. Not only for sin, but also for the Savior. This psalm is a messianic psalm. It's also a psalm about Christ. He was in deep water. He was sinking in the mire of guilt and sin. He was made sin. Not that He ever sinned Himself. No, He lived a perfect and holy life, loving God above all and His neighbor like Himself, obeying God's law in a perfect way. He never sinned in any way. In His mind, in His thought, in His words, in His deeds, He was perfect. Holy, righteous, He was made sin. And the wrath of God was put upon Him, the curse, the condemnation. And He has experienced this in the deepest way. O God, the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. And there is my only hope. And there is my perfect hope of salvation. Did this suffering of Christ become for you like an anchor of your soul? You know, I will not be destroyed upon the rocks of eternity. I will be brought into that safe harbor with the Lord for Christ's sake. If we experience something of this, there's always a question, isn't it? We hear it everywhere around us. Why? If we experience tribulation, trial like David did, why? Why does this happen to me? Maybe you have that question right now here. Why did I lose this beloved one? Why is my health broken? I see others seem to have prosperity and my business is not going well. And why is this happening in my family? And it seems not to happen to others. All these questions, why? And many times we don't have the answer, do we? Although there are some answers in the scripture. For example, if you read in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, there is an answer where Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, about the Lord, he says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted to God." So God is using suffering so that we would be a useful tool in His hands for others, for our neighbors, to point them to the one comfort that is in the Lord, where we found it by His grace. That's one reason we have to remember. And then that we also would remember what is written in the letter to the Hebrews. And when we are in times of suffering and trouble, that it's written in Hebrews 4 that Christ was tempted in all things like we, so that He is a high priest that can have compassion in all our infirmities. Isn't it true that trials and tribulations many times are used by the Lord to break our pride and to make us look unto Christ as the only way of salvation? And to make us aware of our guilt and sin before God, like we also see in this psalm. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Although David could say in this case, in this situation, he was not guilty, at the same time he was aware that he had sinned so much against God, that God did no wrong to him, that God is just in all His dealings with David. You agree? If you see what you deserve, what I deserve, because of sin against God, God does nothing wrong. He is righteous and just in all His ways. So there is many times under the grace and blessing of the Lord a fruit of self-knowledge and knowledge of the Lord. Let it not be that there will be a hardening in trial, in hardship. Our second thought is what is sinking means for others. David says in this psalm, "Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord God of hosts," verse 6, "let not them be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel." David is fully aware about that God has called him with a purpose to be the king of Israel. And if you think about how it was under the reign of Saul, those last years, after he became more and more hardened and an evil spirit came in him, the Spirit of the Lord left him. Well, that was the spirit that, you know, Saul was anointed to be equipped, you could say, to be king. That can be taken away. Not the spirit in regeneration, but that didn't happen, that in the life of Saul. But the Spirit of the Lord in preparing him, equipping him for the office of king, left, taken away in his disobedience. And an evil spirit came, and David was called to play music. And well, but what a hard time it was for the people. It was with a reason that at a certain point there were 600 people gathered to be with David. It was hard to live under such a king. Saul, disobedient to God. And now those people that gathered to David and others, they knew that God was going to make David king. And gave hope in their heart, an expectation of a change for the good. We can understand that, isn't it? If we have a president or leaders that do not obey the word of God, then there has to be an election, and there is a candidate who is fearing God, we have hope, we pray about it. Oh, that this man would be our leader. What a blessing it would be for our nation. Oh, that God would be merciful unto us. David was aware of this position, this situation. And now here he is, sinking. And the inexperience of his impossibility, his lack of strength. And his enemies against him. And then he cries out, oh, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not them that seek thee be confounded for my sake. Do you understand that? Is it in a certain way not something we also can pray? Yes, it's true, especially about leaders. Satan loves it. If he can bring leaders in a position of fainting and failing, you can be sure that Satan will attack pastors especially. If he can make them fall, if he can trap them, snare them, oh, he knows he will do damage in the church, in the congregation. It will bring confusion and harm to souls. He will try to attack those that are in the offices. He will try to attack families, parents, because he knows if they walk in the ways of the Lord, being leaders, being an example, God is using that many times, but if he can make them fall and drown and fail and faint, he can gain for his kingdom of darkness. David knows. You know, isn't it? How there is a responsibility to be in this world. A people surrounding us. People watching us. People that do not read their Bible. And know you are a Christian. Can they read the Bible in your life? Can they read grace in your eyes? Can they experience the love of Christ in your heart? Oh, those times of darkness. That you are surrounded by impossibility, guilt and sin. The light is not clearly shining in your heart and not shining from your life. It's so sad for your own soul, but also for the kingdom of God. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. How many reasons do we have to watch and pray that Satan will not succeed to make us stumble and fall in our daily walk, that we would show something of Christ, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed to Christ. And God is doing that by the power of his word and spirit. And that's why we need it so much, that daily communion with the Lord. It's so good. It's the best you can have in this world, children, young people, to know the Lord, to experience his nearness in Christ daily. And oh, those times of darkness. And sometimes we cause it by our own sins, neglecting to dwell in the Word. Neglecting the daily supplication and communion with the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we don't know. Like Job didn't know. He couldn't look behind the screens like we can reading God's Word. What Satan was doing there, and he was struggling with it. Oh Lord, why dost thou not hear? And that's probably the hardest. That's experienced by David as well. I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fill, while I wait for my God. It seems as if God is not answering. Right, it seems as if God does not hear, but He does hear. And He will enter in His time. In due time He has blessed Job in a double way, and he came out pure like gold out of the fire. Isn't that what God is doing? To exercise faith. You are confronted with your impossibility, with your guilt, with your hopelessness in your own sight, that God would cut you off from all expectation in what you know and have and can do, so that you would look to Christ, that He would be all for your soul. And that's such a blessing. That it became so real to you, that He died for sinners, for the ungodly, for those that are by nature enemies. We, being justified by faith, have peace with God. That's the gospel. It's nothing at my side. That's my only hope. It's firm and secure in Christ and God's eternal love that He has predestined for salvation. That's why it will not be lost. And the Lord has worked the hearts. He will keep it. Not in a way that you can boast in yourself, but boast in the Lord. The wonder will become greater and greater. That there is grace. Grace will become sweeter and sweeter. A word so good to hear. A matter so great to experience. You understand that? Is that what the Lord worked in your heart? Oh, that question, why? And that struggle, Lord, let not those be ashamed for my sake that wait on Thee. Faith is in many ways also a matter of waiting. Not waiting in a passive way, but waiting on the Lord. That's hard, isn't it? To see the invisible because it's written in His Word and rest in it. So it has an impact in the lives of those that wait on the Lord if we fail. Remember the friends of Job. It also has an impact in the lives of those that are the enemies of the Lord. And so, my enemies, they rejoice. They like it. They love it. And that's hard. That's like a knife stabbed in your back. They are mocking. Hey, where is the Lord? That He will deliver him where he trusted in the Lord. Isn't that the deepest pain? Oh Lord, it's about Thy name. It's about Thy glory. It's not only about a situation I'm in, but it's Thy case. It's about Thy name's sake. Lord, help me. So, this is also something that will be experienced by all God's children. Like David does it here. And we see it fully in Christ. It is prophesying about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. where he was mocked, despised, rejected, hanging up on the cross. And they shouted, others he delivered, himself he cannot deliver. But he could. He had all the power to come off from the cross. He didn't want that because of his amazing love for sinners to be saved. And he suffered. It's like a sharp arrow in your heart. Where is the Lord? Something of this suffering will be the experience of all God's children in this world. Something of this suffering of David, of the great son of David, of Christ. It's not that we are without sin. Certainly not. We all have to say with David, O God, thou knowest my foolishness. I hope you can say that. The Lord is showing that to you. But there are also many times situations that we are persecuted without cause. Like David, like Christ, that we are persecuted for Christ's sake. And people see us suffering and struggling and fainting and rejoice and despise us and mock us. And that's hard. But how good that the Lord has used this suffering in the life of David to give us this psalm, so that we in those situations know that we are not the only one and not the first one to experience it. David was in it. Christ has experienced it in the deepest way. You are not the first one to be there in your helplessness, hopelessness. And like it seems, and maybe Satan is telling you, God has forsaken you. He doesn't know about you. Look, he's not helping you. And then to look unto what God has written in his word. And to look unto Christ. So we come to our third point. How to get out of this sinking, this deep suffering, this being helpless, weak, hopeless. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. That's deep. How good it is if there are brothers together to love and help each other. Christ has experienced, like it is written in the Gospels, his brothers didn't believe in him. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. It was for the Lord's sake. So it's good to examine our hearts. If we are in a situation that people turn against us, it can be because our behavior was wrong. And then we have to humble and confess before the Lord, maybe before our neighbor. But it can also be because the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. There is a fire burning by the grace of God in my heart that I want to serve the Lord. You understand that, young people? You don't want to join friends, if you can call them friends, in the ways of sin. And it might be that they turn away from you. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. You cannot do that. It's against the will of God. It will destroy my soul. And you can be sure that the Lord will bring comfort if you, in a way of submitting to his word, seek Christ as your Savior. You will find him. That's the promise of God in his word. And that's so much more than anything, any pleasure, any joy in this world. So good to know the Lord. Not that there is no suffering, not that you will not be attacked, but He will be near. He will be near like David has experienced. Why? Because Christ was in deep water. Oh, remember, in all your afflictions, in all your darkness, in all your struggle, remember that our waters are shallow because His were deep, without bottom. He descended into hell. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He experienced utter darkness so that we wouldn't descend, fall in the bottomless pit, but find a rock in Christ of salvation. Oh, how to get out of this sinking of my soul. Well, we have to pray. You say, I know that. You know that? You know the secret of prayer, the power of prayer, depending upon the Lord. What does it mean? Well, we read about it in verses 13 through 15. But as for me, my prayer is unto Thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Prayer. It's such a mighty weapon. It really is. Do you believe it, parents? You think about the salvation of the souls of your children? Do we believe it in our offices, in our labor in God's vineyard? Do you believe it in your personal life? Do you know it? The secret of prayer. I don't know, Pastor, how to pray. That's good. There is a spirit of grace and supplication who is teaching to pray. It's good if you cannot depend on yourself. But the power of prayer is real. It's such a wonderful thing to experience. It's so much needed. We read so much about it in the Word. But that for me, my prayer is unto Thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, sinking in a pit, like Joseph, not able to get out, to look up. The only thing you can do, the best thing you can do, to depend on the Lord. He will never, no, never, no, never forsake them that trust in Him. That's His word. That is true. But let us see what it means to pray by this spirit of grace and supplication. It's a humble prayer. It's a prayer not boasting in yourself. It's supplication. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. It's a prayer aware of your own guilt and sin. Oh God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid before Thee. But it's also a prayer aware of whom God is, how great He is, how gracious He is, how mighty to help. So prayer is not to look to yourself. Yes, we need self-knowledge, but we shouldn't stay in it. We should look out of ourselves to Christ as our only hope. We read it in the form of the Lord's Supper, that we lay in the midst of death, but we seek life outside of ourselves in Christ, and there to find it. And when you have found it, you will continue to seek it, because there's never, never a fountain of life in myself. It's so true what Christ is describing, is saying, in which is described in John 15, I'm the vine, You are the branches. You have to abide in me, and my word has to abide in you. Look not to self. There's no hope. There will never be hope. Our old nature, our flesh, will never improve. My sinful nature wants to sin, enjoys sin. But thank God that the Spirit has worked spiritual life, and it hates sin. It's my enemy. Sin is my enemy. It's such a horrible thing. And so there's a conflict in my life. Maybe you struggle with that. Can this be true? I still experience that old nature. And it feels like I'm sinking. There's still pleasure that I find in, want to find in sin. Oh, if the Lord gave grace in your heart, then you can say, well, but it's no longer me, like Paul says in Romans 7. It's sin that dwells in me. Oh, miserable man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of sin? He knows. It's not so much a question as an exclamation. I thank God through Christ. He knew. But it was his ongoing struggle. It will be for you, O child of God, to your last breath. Then there will be the day to be fully delivered out of this sinking, this experience of the mire of sin. Look not to self. Oh, today is a day of grace. Today is an acceptable time, a time to be accepted for Christ's sake. As poor and guilty and needy as you are, to look unto Him, to find in Him everything you need to sink upon this rock of ages. Oh, in this psalm we read something David knew so well, who the Lord is. Thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of His tender mercies. So one thing is to be aware about what you are in this sinking. It's impossible at my sight. But the other thing is to be aware whom God is, to remember, to call in mind again from the Word how God has revealed Himself. For example, also in Exodus 34 to Moses, Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. That God is lifting up your soul in seeing Him with the eyes of faith. And everything in Him, in Christ, to see His beauty. So we have to give it out of our hands, like David does, like Christ did upon the cross. In thine hands I give my spirit. We lose our life, we die. We cannot save ourselves. To find it in Christ. It's no longer me who is living, but it's Christ living in me. He who resurrected, He who is at the right hand of God, and He who is gathering by His Spirit the church unto Himself. Right now, at this moment, here He is, this Savior, revealed in the Word. Look unto Him and be saved. By grace, forever. Amen. Congregation, let us close with prayer. O Lord, we thank Thee. Thou art so good. Lord, Thou art so merciful that Thou art revealing Thyself in Thy Word and also revealing whom we are in ourselves, so that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, O Lord, that's like sinking sand, but that we would trust in Christ, the rock of ages, who has laid at one foundation on which the church is built throughout the ages of world history, and that building will be completed. There will not be one left behind. All those that Thou hast loved, chosen, they will come, called by the Word, drawn by the Spirit, at the feet of Christ, to be washed and cleansed from all sin, to be renewed by the Spirit, to walk in Thy ways, O Lord. But it's such a small beginning. We will never be satisfied about ourselves, but we will never be disappointed about Thee. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts. Forgive everything that was not according to Thy will in speaking and listening. Bring us together this afternoon in Thy house again, Lord. Keep us on the dangerous roads and keep us from sin. Lord, save our souls. Hear our prayer. Forgive all our iniquity. We pray. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thy name be honored and praised, exalted and glorified forever and ever. We pray for Christ's sake alone. Amen.